So as we remember what our Lord Jesus did for us on the cross, and we remember the power of the resurrection, and we remember what he told the disciples on that night before he would go on the cross the next day as they shared that Passover Seder, and we call it the Last Supper. And we read in the various accounts of that, and in the Corinthians account from Apostle Paul, not a part of the original 12, but he says, the Lord Jesus gave this to me, and I pass it on to you. So in 1 Corinthians 11:23, I read, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So as I was reading this, I was just thinking that you can look at that and look at that as excluding it, or it can be looking at it as including. In other words, you can look at that as a standard for keeping you from sharing communion. But on the other hand, I think the primary principle is to make sure you're included in that. And if there's any sin that's separating you, confess it. We should not go into communion with any unconfessed sin. Otherwise, we are found in a way guilty here of minimizing what Christ did for us, because we're not really recognizing the sacrifice that he made for all sin. And if we're continuing to have a sin, or sin that we haven't confessed, that we know about anyway, then we're really saying, well, I don't recognize that sacrifice that he made is really very important to me, right? So we want to make sure that we're ready to come to him. And then he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So the first thing we will do is, if you peel that top thing off, we have, this isn't bread, obviously, but it's certainly unleavened. I don't think it's very, very leavened, that's for sure. And we want absence from sin. That's the whole thing. Remembering what he did for us. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this, do this, do this in remembrance of me." So we want to remember today, in a way, what he did yesterday, really what he has done already for us 2,000 years ago, as he gave his body broken for us. And so as we take this, it kind of, John 6, he says, "You have no part of me unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh," in meaning that to be in us, in every cell in our body. The only way we can get him in every cell of our body in a way physically is to put it into our bloodstream, right? So we want to partake this and remember that he gave his body for us. Father, we thank you for what you did in giving your body for us. And as we take this, we recognize we're being obedient to your command. Eat this, do this, do what? Eat this bread and drink this cup. And so we want to eat this little symbolic bread here, thanking you, remembering the price that you paid. And it was your body shredded. It was your body scourged. It was your body pierced. And all of these things you willingly gave that we might have our sins forgiven as you took them on yourself, and we might be saved after we're forgiven. And so let us eat together with thanksgiving and just all the gratitude that we could ever put in such a word. Thank you. Let us eat together. And the next verse says, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me.'" And that was so significant to Israel, because they'd been waiting for that new covenant for 1,500 years, praying for it, praying for it, praying for it, praying for it. But of course, yet they missed it in a way, because they missed Jesus Christ. But here he's holding it up, and it wasn't what they were expecting, of course. They were expecting a military leader. They were expecting a powerful world leader that would use by force, overthrow Rome and give them their independence. That's what they were looking for. But what they received in that new covenant is blood. Blood, blood, blood. Blood is so important. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So blood is such an amazing thing, and it's all over. It was there in the very first murder. Blood, Cain and Abel, all the way to the end is the blood. So we want to just recognize this is the blood that we're drinking here in a way that reminds us of that, because he says, "This do as often as you drink it," what? "In remembrance of me." So we want to remember the blood that he shed. This was not man's blood, really. It came from a man's body, but he's fully God. We need to remember that. No man's blood, apart from the divine nature, has any power at all to forgive anything. So it's not just man's blood here. It is the Son of God's blood here, the new blood in the new covenant, which not only covers our sin, but it takes them away. Unbelievable. Takes them away. Even as John the Baptist would say, "Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world." A radical term for them. Very common for us because we've grown up knowing that this was done way long time ago, 2,000 years ago. And we know we have our sins taken away, never to be brought up again by him. But they didn't have that. But here they're to do that. The church is to do this, and we're to do this. So as often as we drink this cup, we proclaim his death until he comes. So we proclaim that, and we could experience that kind of yesterday and in the crucifixion day. But that's just a remembrance, and we remember it every time we take this in the same way of what he did for us. Father, we thank you for your blood. We thank you that to be the justifier, and you are just, such an amazing, amazing solution to the problem of fallen man and restoring us back to you because of our sin. The sin of Adam separated us. But you created us to have fellowship with us, to have a communion with each of us. And it's only by the blood of the Lamb where that sin is forgiven. And so we want to just recognize that sufficient blood for every person ever born or ever will be born, and for every sin, past, present, and future, that will ever or has been committed. And so we are really victorious as we sit here this morning thinking of that, because you paid the price for our sin. So unbelievable. And all of the things out there in the world with all kinds of intellect attached to them and one thing or another, there's no one else that has died that we might live. No one else ever has been before or ever will be again. And so we come to the one and only source, Lord. We come to you, and we want to remember, do this in remembrance of me. And so as we drink this, may we drink it with just such unbelievable recognition of what you've done for us, and that we would not count it common or trivial, but we would just be in just unbelievable awe and awareness of you and your holiness. And so, Lord, I just thank you for this family here, so precious and faithful over the years to come and pray. And here we can partake this together in this new setting. May you be here every time we meet. And may you, Holy Spirit, just inhabit the praises of your people. And may you lead us in prayer. But right now, we just want to remember what you did in shedding that blood. The life is in the blood. Our life is you, Lord. Thank you. Let us drink this together in remembrance of him and what he has done for us. Let us drink. So I'll just read through Psalm 22, a psalm that we all know. We even went through this psalm on the Saturday morning about 4 years ago, the last time we did it before today. And you know, this was written 1,000 years before Christ was born, several hundred years before crucifixion was even known or invented, whatever you want to call it, practiced. And this was just a psalm of David, and yet this is prophetic. We see David in the psalm describing himself, but I don't see anything here of the magnitude of which he is prophetically writing that fits him or really fits any of us. This is unique to the Messiah. My Bible entitles it "The Suffering, Praise, and Posterity of the Messiah." And the one question he starts with there, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? and from the words of my groaning. And I don't think we can even grasp that in its entirety at all. This is the first time in all of history, past or future, that there's any separation in the Trinity. But there is a separation here because of the holiness of God not being able to commune and have presence with sin because of his righteousness and because he's just. And here's his Son who is separating himself by plan and by agreement from his Father. And I don't think we can grasp that at all because they've never been separated. They're always one. Jesus would say, I only do the will of my Father. I wish we could say that. I wish I could say that. I sometimes do the will of my Father, and I sometimes feel his closeness very much, and there's other times I'm not even close to him at all. But here Jesus, for the first time and only time, will be separated from him. So he is saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me in the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and the night season I'm not silent. And here's the reason then for the separation. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm. And here, this is not the typical grub worm. This is a tola. There's a whole story on the tola where it dies, giving birth to its children, and then it's adhered to a piece of wood where you can't even get it off unless you scrape out the wood, and yet in 3 days, all red in blood will turn totally white. And it's just such an example here of what is happening here the third day. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised by the people. When Jesus can say he's despised by the people, can you picture yourself as being despised by the world? I think this is becoming more and more obvious as time goes on. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. And of course, we see all these things so clearly given to us in the gospel as confirming this prophecy. And we see in a way even more detail in this psalm and in Isaiah 53 than we see in the Gospels. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. Now just think of that. This is the Son of God, but fully man. So he came out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. Most people feel that's just a description of the evil, the strength of the evil, principalities and powers and so forth coming against. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water. Boy, this is descriptive of the cross effect on a body. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. I don't know if you've ever had a bone out of joint for just a few seconds or minutes, but it's so excruciating painful. And here, as the muscles give way on the cross, all the bones end up being pulled out of joint. So you've got this, not just one joint, you've got joint after joint out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. Can you imagine how thirsty you would be if you were beaten, no water, and had all of that moisture coming out of your body? And over these periods of hours that he was beaten and whipped and all that, he would have been so, no wonder you couldn't get your tongue stuck from your top of your mouth. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs, that's goyim, Gentiles if you want, dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and feet. That would have been hard to understand at the time this was written, because the piercing was not a way that the Jews killed at all. It was all stoning, right? But here it's the piercing. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. In other words, the flesh has even been ripped off of a lot of his bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. We have that given to us in all four Gospels. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O, my strength hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and the arioch, or the wild oxen. And now it dramatically shifts, and we can really kind of sense where we are today, the second day, so to speak. It will shift by the third day. Looking ahead now, you have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. Am I doing that? Are you doing that? Are we really declaring his name to my brethren? In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Hallel, hallelujah. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. Do you fear the Lord? That is such an important thing. If you do a study on fearing the Lord, it's just such an awesome study. And we have to have that reverential fear of the Lord. We have to. If you don't really fear the Lord in that way, I don't think you know him. You who fear the Lord, praise him, all you descendants of Jacob. Glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel, for he is not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to him, he heard. Of course, if you read Hebrews 5:7, it says he was heard for his vehement cries and tears. Prayer was heard. That was right after, of course, you know, the prayer in the garden to get Jesus's, to get Father's will. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And we see here his prayer was heard. When he cried to him, he heard. Verse 25, my praise shall ever be of you. In the great assembly, I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Oh, may we be seeking him. Let your heart live forever. Yes. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. Oh, that day is coming. That day is coming soon, but we have to go through some things before that happens. And all the families of the nations, that's it, all the families of the nations, that will happen at the end of the Great Tribulation. It will be done. They'll all turn to him who are saved. Shall worship before you, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. Yes, indeed. Not yet, but that's coming. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. Now here, this is talking about you and about me. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They, that's us, will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born. Well, people are still being born, aren't they? Almost 400,000 a day. Can you imagine that? 400,000 new lives today, every day. Probably more like 360, but anyway, over 300,000 a day. Now, 170,000 a day will die, approximately, but there's this great population growth going on. They will come and declare righteousness to a people. And every one of those new babies, as born, really still don't know the Lord yet. They need to know the Lord. They will come and declare, especially when they get to their accountable age, I'm talking about. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. So that is the gospel there. That is what he has done. Is your life reflecting that? Are you telling others that? That's what this says we are to do. So that's Psalm 22. I'd like to go on into Isaiah 53, but if we would do that, we would not have much time for prayer. And this is a special day to pray, and we want to pray for the resurrection day tomorrow. We want to pray for however the Lord, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. We have the same spirit. So may we pray now as led by that spirit, and just use these moments so we could redeem the time joining together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for meeting us here in a little different setting, but your presence here is the same as it is anywhere. If we draw near to you, you draw near to us. And I thank you for the kind of semicircle of chairs here today, which kind of seems to even be better than in rows. I don't know, but Lord, whether it's in rows or single file or columns or whatever, it doesn't matter. We just thank you for meeting us here. And I so stand in agreement for Pastor Terry and Sheila and the Parkinson's. And I just lift up everybody in Parkinson's. That's such a hideous kind of a thing. And so, Lord, or whatever it is. But we thank you for being able to be here. We thank you for the freedom that we still enjoy in this nation, that we don't have to worry about having the government coming in and shutting us down or whatever. But help us to be vocal in our hearts to all of those around us continually. And Lord, now I'd just like to close with shifting gears a little bit to look forward to that day coming, that resurrection day. Christ the Lord is risen today, and we can say hallelujah, hallelujah. So let's just close with this victorious song of Christ the Lord is risen today. And we say hallelujah to that, huh? Thank you so much for finding your way here. And next week, Lord willing, find it again.